I'd like to welcome everyone to our service this morning at Wigan Baptist Church. You see a lot of the announcements in the bulletin. Also, if you're visiting today or if you have any prayer requests, please just use the insert here and you can put it in an offering plate or give it to someone if you have any information or anything like that. The month of April is our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. Our goal is $1,500. As of today, the total amount received is $1,155. So please keep that in your prayers and give as the Lord leads you on that. The Pastor Search Committee, along with the deacons, have a very important announcement to make. This is the second announcement that we've made. We made it last week. Tonight, we will have a prospective pastor for our church bring the Sunday night message. Following the service, we will have our taco night as we had originally planned. This will also be a meet and greet time for the pastor and his family. Next Sunday, May the 7th, he will bring the morning message. Immediately following the service, we will have a call conference to vote. We are hoping that this will give everyone a chance to meet him and his family. Please be in prayer as our church moves forward. Also, it's time for the truck loading. The Georgia Baptist Children's Homes. Bring your donation to the church here. We'll have a towed in the bags. In the back, we'll get the bulletin out. We'll get the information out to you. Need cleaner, laundry detergent, paper towels, toilet paper, paper plates, plastic cutlery, gift cards are always accepted, trash bags, and sunscreen. But we'll have more on that later on as far as the items that are needed. There's a list. There's a list on the table in the back. Thank you, Jan. Other announcements. Anyone wanting tickets for the Mike Bond medical benefit, please see Miss Alice or Jan Hall. Don't forget, May the 14th is Mother's Day. May the 21st is senior recognition service and lunch after the morning service. May 29th is, of course, Memorial Day, and be in prayer for VBS, which starts June the 18th through June the 22nd. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day and opportunity to gather and worship our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that as we conduct this service today with songs and the message, Lord, that we have come today with our hearts all and our minds all in one accord, Lord, to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Harold?
Mission video.
For most of our evolved people, summertime is known as the white band season. It's where white bands would show up and do a lot of great things, and then the white bands would leave. 12 years ago, I came here on a white band, and just the imprint that the church has of coming and leaving. I believe the Lord put that in my heart to begin the call for us to come live here for however long He needed us. We are in the southwest corner of South Dakota on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. Pine Ridge is home to the Oglala Lakota people, and we leave the country and everything you don't want to leave the country in. We have 80% unemployment. The teen suicide rate is 300% higher than the national average. And we're still ultimately an unreached people group here in the center of our country. We are absolutely an evangelistic ministry, but our approach is through compassion ministry. We do this free summer camp for our local kids. It's a day camp. We have church groups that help us do camps for typically 8 weeks out in the summer. And then one of the greatest needs we have here is just basic housing needs, water lines, plumbing, electrical. And I've always done construction. You build relationships that way. So it became a pretty big staple for our ministry, was just construction outreach. And then the journey of becoming a licensed dentist practice, dental practice. And through all of that, God has blessed us with some amazing churches and teams that have come from all over the country from day one have helped us do this. And so to make the gospel accessible, our heart to be consistent, to be here, to be present all year long. And so people here still call it white van season, but now it's different.
Good morning again. Anybody have a birthday this past week or today that we can sing? Happy birthday to you. No one? Okay, well, I want to remind you to brush up.
Huh?
Sissy, look.
You sang last week.
Huh? I
didn't make it last Sunday. And I got in trouble because I didn't sing Happy Birthday to Cecil, but I did catch up Wednesday night.
Yeah,
but we're going to sing it again, just for you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And I want to remind everybody to brush up on your Spanish this afternoon. We're having taco night tonight at River Baptist. We're going to sing Yes, Jesus Loves Me in Spanish. Do y'all remember? You remember that? Don't you see Cristo Mi Amo? Do y'all remember that, huh? Yeah. All right. So we're going to do that. Okay. 547. Please stand for our opening hymn.
Yeah.
the third verse for the offertory.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome. Have to readjust the light a little bit here. That has nothing to do with age, but I do want to, let's see, is somebody recording this today? I just want to make sure, okay, someone is, and you'll understand. I've made a lot of comments since I've been here. I have also managed to embarrass myself once or twice. I've embarrassed Harold more than that. And so I just want you to know I'm not trying to pick anybody out specifically. But at the same time, things just hit my mind, and I think you understand that. It's sort of, maybe at my age, things do come and go. But at all sincerity, I grew up in a church that had a very good music program, a wonderful pastor that I was with, or he was there for 20-something years. And so I was very close to them. We had a little short musician for many of those years who became a good friend. And he was of the era of more of the big thing, where the wonderful musicians, orchestra, all of that kind of stuff. And he played the trumpet very well, was a good conductor. And so I always enjoyed learning from him, even though I was not such a musician myself. But I just couldn't help with the first song that we sang today, because he taught me something that I think was very interesting, but it was amusing at the same time. And why it struck me funny, Harold, is because as we have learned and we are progressing on getting our sound system in better shape and our video and audio, we're working on that. I hope you're seeing some improvement. Shauna has worked hard this week on trying to make this very professional looking. And so my point being is that it's power in the blood. And Mr. Aubrey Gaskins was his name, Mr. Gaskins, was so particular and so articulate about the way we sang and the way we presented. And what tickled me was that on the screen, it was POW R. And so they're telling you by the spelling of that word that the word is power. Power is what you're supposed to be singing. Well, that's not the word. The word is power, POWER. And I always got tickled because I said there's really only one way you can actually sing that. And I'm, let's see, I may sing a line of it, I forget what it is. There is power, power. Okay, and that it comes out like South Georgia. Well, I grew up north. I grew up in North Mississippi. And so Mr. Gaskin, this is a great story. Mr. Gaskin said, there's only one way to do it properly. And he said, this is what you have to do. You have to smile when you say that word. You have to say, there is power, power, power in the blood. Because you have to raise your cheekbone to get the two syllables out. And I've laughed about that for over 60 years. So I thought it was pretty funny, actually. And Harold, you can change that, and we will change the word to power, power. You have to move your mouth to say power. I love little puns, and I love jokes like that. So thank you for indulging me. And then now I've got to say one other word for, let's see, what do you call it? Anyway, I'm going to protect Shauna because she's my friend. I really did not send her my sermon biblical notes today because I'm doing something different, and I'm going to explain that in the sermon. But so if she doesn't get a one of them, don't you say anything. And if she does, because all of a sudden while the choir was here, I realized that the way I had quickly presented that to her this morning, it might not match up anything. So she's trying to help, but it's me. It's not anybody else. I'm excited though about tonight. And I hope you understand. I know you've got to be, but for me to have someone coming as the prospect for your pastor is very exciting. I have been able to meet the man just one time, talk to him on the phone a few times, and as I explained last week, the reason we really have not given you name and a lot of information and stuff about him is because he is close to our community, to the area of South Georgia, and we do not want to upset his church until we can let you meet him and let you talk to him, because as the committee, I'm not on the committee, but I have been in some of the meetings, your committee has done a great job.
Amen.
And they've done a good job because they have talked with him, they have interviewed him, they've heard sources about him, they have talked with your deacons, and they talk together. You see, I'm the one that can do this, but all of them have worked at it, and they're 100%. They feel fantastic. And they feel God's leadership in what they have done. And then even the night that we voted on the package, there was half of this congregation here that night. And so people were able to look at that. So much information has gone over. I invite you and encourage you, if you at all can be here tonight, or if there's someone who maybe has not been here in a Sunday or two because of illness or something, that's tough, to come on and meet this guy and his wife. And I believe some of his children are coming. I'll tell you, he has three children. One is in college and two of them are married, and he's a new grandpa. So Phyllis, you and I will get along real well with him. And we love these grandchildren, and that's important. So continue to pray about it. And next Sunday will be a glorious day as God helps us continue to put things together here at Wickham Baptist. I decided to share someone else's sermon today. Now, is that not odd? Well, actually it is, but the good part is I have their permission. You might find a pastor over down the end, they'll go on the internet or somewhere, and I guess if it's been posted or published, it's, you know, as long as you tell who you got it from or what, I'm not claiming that this is mine. But not only did I get the permission, I've taken some liberties. I'm not preaching it word for word, but I want to give you the idea and the scriptural context, because I found myself great value and truth in it. And that's the only way I would preach something for you or for anyone else. So let me begin. This is not me speaking. I'll tell you who at the end of these words. Let me begin by sharing some personal testimony with you. Years ago, I was in a very depressed state. One of the few things that stopped me, the thought of taking my own life crossed my mind. And one of the few things that stopped me was the thought of leaving my parents and my family behind and what that would do to them. I was miserable. I couldn't think, I couldn't function. All that I could think about was my problems. Things that I used to find joy in doing no longer appealed to me. I didn't want to work, I couldn't work, nothing mattered to me. I just wanted to cry and sleep. Thanks be to God, I lived through it. God and prayer, my wife, my family, and medication got me through it. I still struggle with it every day. I still can't do all the things that I used to be able to do. I have found that I can do things for others, but not for myself. And many times, I find myself unable to do things for myself alone. I need someone there with me and someone to at least stand beside me to keep my mind off my troubles. I wouldn't wish what I went through on anyone but Satan. He wants to destroy and devour all that God and we hold dear. He deserves what I went through. He is the master of lies. He had me thinking that I don't deserve to live. I do deserve to live. God isn't finished with me until he calls me home when my work here on earth is finished. And this is signed by Matthew McBroom, one of our church members. Folks, this is a powerful testimony of God's love, and I'm thankful to share this with you. This came about through a conversation that Matthew and I had, and Kim was with him at the time. And as I looked at it, I've been grateful for the friendship and testimony that Matthew and Kim have given me. They are not one of your long-term members that some of you may be, but we're drawn here by God because they, number one, felt a need in their life to grow and be with Christians. They have stayed because of your love and acceptance of them and the family they have found at Wigham Baptist Church. And that's a witness in itself. Part of Matthew's testimony is what God has done through prayer, and most of all, Scripture. Matthew and Kim are still on their journey, like the rest of us. But Matthew felt a need and a compassion to search Scripture and try to help put together what he understood God was saying to him. And that's what he's asked me to do today with the sermon and the notes I have. That first part that I read is what Matthew wrote word for word to present this. And this is what he had said. So, first of all, this is his sermon with my delivery, his hard work, because I didn't have to do quite as much, and my voice. I also told him it was too long, and I will have to hold back some of what he wrote. And he even agreed with that. James says this in his scripture. He says, "But above the feuds and struggles that exist among you, where do you suppose they come from? Can't you see that they arise from conflicting passions within yourselves? You crave for something and don't get it. You are jealous and envious of what others have got, and you don't possess it yourselves. Consequently, in your exasperated frustration, you struggle and fight with one another. You don't get what you want because you don't ask for God. You don't ask God for it. And when you ask, he doesn't give it to you, for you ask in quite the wrong spirit. You only want to satisfy your own desires." My goodness, what a way to start a prayer. James, though, shared this because he saw what was happening, yes, in the church. in the church. This is a Phillips translation of that quote from James. But I looked at different translations, by the way, and that one section might surprise you the most. But if I looked at other translations, the initial verse that we read in the book of James is shorter, and almost half of the other translations looked at those words and said, murder. That we had other things in our heart. We put other things ahead of us, and we would actually murder someone because of what they have. That's covetousness. And so what we see here is they begin by saying, you need to learn to pray, and that would cut down your fights. That would cut down your jealousy. That would cut down your covetousness. So we read in the book of Corinthians, I think it was from Paul, and Paul says this. Paul lays it out and gives us the way we live this way. Paul says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. Paul was also preaching to a church, the church in Thessalonica this time. And we need to start, what he says is we need to start our days in prayer. We need to be open to Jesus in prayer all through the day and end our days in thanksgiving. Yes, we learn we can do all things in the spirit of prayer. This is our communication with our Father. I've said it many times to you, but it is on a minute-by-minute basis through our day and through our life. And that's how we can learn to pray without ceasing. Everything we do, we can do in the spirit of prayer. Our goal is to rely on the Holy Spirit for guidance and discernment in all things. This is what Paul told us we could do. He told us. He didn't just suggest it. John 14:6 tells us how to accomplish this, because Paul and John both would suggest, or they would tell what they saw in the churches, but then they would give us practical ways to accomplish it. And John 14 says this, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit from the Father, will send in my name, and he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And so what he's saying there is scripture memorization is not only important, but it's good, because through the scripture memorization, we learn that. I am not good at it. I struggle, I have some phrases I know, but it's so important for us to read God's word and to memorize those things that he puts in us. I was fortunate to work with the Georgia Baptist Convention from like 1978 to 2012, some 30 years. And what I was doing with them was participating in Bible drill. Fortunately, I had the book. The young people, the children that I worked with, would find passages in the Bible that they had memorized and they had studied. And I learned so much from those children over 30 years of listening and talking and praying for these young people. Paul teaches us in Romans that the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. He says he makes it with groanings which we cannot utter. So don't worry if we can't think of words to express our prayers. Have you ever been praying and talking to God and get to a point where you were so frustrated you couldn't even know what to say? And yet the Holy Spirit takes care of that for us, and the Holy Spirit will utter things to God that needs to be said. To begin with, to live our lives like this, we must do what? We must move beyond relying on what? On our feelings. It's not how we feel. We must rely on faith, on our faith in Jesus Christ, to learn how to live in a prayerful life, in a prayerful way. Who is the author and the finisher of our faith? Paul tells the folks in Corinth, it's not about us, it's all about him. The Message Bible has it is a translation paraphrase, it's some above, but the Message Bible is a translation that uses very common everyday English words that we can understand. 2 Corinthians 10, beginning with verse 15, says this: We're not barging in on the rightful work of others, interfering with their ministries, demanding a place in the sun with them. What we're hoping for is that as your lives grow in faith, you'll play a part within our expanding work. And we'll all still be within the limits of God, such as we proclaim the message in countries beyond Corinth. But we have no intention of moving in on what others have done and taking credit for it. If you want to claim credit, claim it for God. What you say about yourself means nothing in God's work. It's what God says about you that makes the difference. And I love really that particular translation, because what is happening is just like us. You know better than I do how many churches, let's even say Baptist churches, are within a 10 to 15 mile radius of where I'm standing. And we'll give credit even to Methodist Church on here. But we're not trying to get in on their turf. Amen. We're not trying to take anything from anyone else. What Amen. We're trying to do is come together and worship him and pray to God and let him speak to us.
Amen.
And scripture from Paul tells us, this is what we're trying to do. Don't worry about it. And guess what? There are enough lost people out there for everyone.
Amen.
We need to fill these pews, but we need to fill pews all over. My question is then, what can we really do if we develop a prayer life like this? And when I read this back to myself this morning, my sentence had to change. My question is, what can God do when we develop a prayer life like this? Well, Paul actually tells us this also in Philippians. Philippians 4, 10 through 20. This is something you've heard. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. Paul was telling him that at one point I was there and I couldn't get anybody to help. Well, now things have changed. Now let me go back to read again. This is verse 11. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. In verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet, it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians, yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. In verses 19 and 20, and God, and my God, will supply every need of yours according to his riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. What more could we ask for? He will supply all that we need. And this was not a part of his sermon, but a great example, because we had I was the interim pastor, I guess one of my first interims over in Pavo. And a sweet lady and her husband had been to another country, and I believe this young lady was from Guatemala. That's what comes to my mind. But she had come to visit them in the United States. And two things happened with her. She said that she had been over here a couple of weeks, and she had a conversation with her son. She had children. She actually had become a pastor, this lady. And she said, she was telling her son, I've just eaten so much, and the food is so good. Said, I haven't had any rice in 2 weeks. And her son said, Mama, you haven't had any rice. She said, no, but there's plenty of food. His problem was he eats rice every day. That's what they have. That's what they can get. He was worried about his mama because she hadn't eaten any rice. But then after that story, she said, when I got here, I looked around, and she visited some other churches. She did some preaching for some others in the community. And she said, you've got a beautiful church like this. You've got all these pews, but where are your people? Where are they? And we had to shake our head, because we had a beautiful sanctuary. Actually, Pavo was a little smaller than y'all. The sanctuary wasn't quite the size, but we probably didn't have 20, maybe 25. And she said, in Guatemala, where I am, every service on Sunday is standing room only. We don't have enough pews because people are hungry for the word. And I believe that that's part of what our problem is. I don't think we're hungry enough. And I don't mean around here. I mean around here. This is the close, since you come on down. Because Matthew's done a lot of good research. And I applaud him for his study and work. I pray that this part of his message gives you some of the insight on how to start a productive prayer life, resulting in better communication with your Father. There are helps like Prayer Life that T.W. Hunt wrote, and some of the things that maybe we can do as a church as we go along. Max Lucado one day will end, and eventually, it seems like. But here's three things for a takeaway that I think you need today. Number one, pray without ceasing. Number two, rely on the Holy Spirit for all things. And number three, yes, wait on the Lord, because God will supply all of your needs. He's made us that promise. Things have happened. Life has changed. It's different than when I started here back last October. But God is sending us someone to continue doing good things because we've asked Him. And we've told the Lord that we know that we're not full. We're not complete. Remember, I use complete instead of perfect, because we're not complete. We'll be perfect when we enter heaven with the Lord. Hymn number 312, Soft and Tenderly, is our hymn of invitation. And I invite you to stand and sing that song with us, because Softly and Tenderly helps us focus on God for what we need to do. Susan, let's stand together. Come home.